Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Woohoo!
Last week we depressed you all, or just bent your mind into new dimensions with simulation theory. We certainly ended that episode feeling fairly depressed, didn't we?
Yes. My brain was melted. I didn't know which way was up, which way was down.
You struggled to drive home.
I did, yeah. Got home, didn't know what the time was. I didn't even know what was going on for dinner. I just lost track of time.
Yeah.
And my brain was just mush.
Well, let's try and not pulverize our brains quite so much this week. But it is kind of an extension of last week.
Yep.
Because last week, obviously, was glitches in the Matrix. Mm. And I was kind of trying to demonstrate Nick Bostrom's theory of the was it like an advanced civilization studying its own past through the simulation?
Yeah, he was the downfall of last week's podcast.
Yeah, whereas glitches in the Matrix, I mean, the Matrix itself, the humanity was enslaved by machine overlords or artificial intelligence. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So there's a point in the film where Morpheus is introducing Neo to the whole idea of the Matrix, and he's telling him about human history and how in early 21st century humans marveled at their new creation of AI, artificial intelligence. But then very soon things turned south. Human and AI came into combat. Humans blocked out the sun, so the machines didn't have any power, so machines enslaved humanity to create power through them.
Yeah, yeah.
And in a lot of films, that seems to be a recurring theme, you know? Like AI is created, clash, machines versus humans, which one wins, you know? I mean, like, we've seen it again and again, The Terminator, The Matrix, you know, there's plenty of films out there that have this similar sort of synopsis, this theory. Yeah. But, I mean, how realistic actually is it, and how damaging can AI be? Or is it potentially beneficial? to it. I mean, at the moment, with the AI that we've got going on, everybody has some form of AI. You carry it around in your pocket all the time on your phone, mm-hmm. you know? My phone blinked up today with the health app saying that there's a difference in what I'm my normal daily routine. It's noticed that, and it wants to tell me about it. And I'm like, go away, I don't care. I got a broken foot, I'm still healing,
yeah.
you know? We've all got it. And we've got the three Amazon Alexas in our house.
Nice. I like that. Yeah.
And, yeah, my girlfriend uses them all the time when she's at work, listening to different radio stations and all this sort of thing. It is a benefit. It does make our lives easier.
Yeah, certainly does. Yeah. I do the same thing to fall asleep at night. You just say, Alexa, can you play Rain on a Tent or something? That's the go-to.
That's your go-to.
And then I'm asleep within 5 minutes. But what's great is you can also just say, I'll turn off in 2 hours, and then you don't have to worry about it.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And these applications are useful in our general day-to-day life. Mm. And as AI progresses, as people develop more AI tools, it's helping businesses. It's helping all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I see all the time now in recent months on YouTube so many channels going, oh, AI created this episode. This is what AI can do for you. There's channels on YouTube that help you to progress your channel, and they're turning to like AI with their tools and saying, well, your title and your description, you could use AI to create that, or to, you know, make it more enticing to humans to click that link and look at your video. And mm-hmm. people have shown that they're getting elevated number of views from using that approach.
Yeah. Have you seen the thing going on lately with chat? Is it GPT?
GPT, yeah.
And that's blowing up everywhere around the world because like a moral compass of, you know, is it correct for people? I think it's mainly targeted towards like college and uni students,
yeah,
because a lot of them are just using it,
yeah.
And
this is one of the downfalls, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing thing, this chat GPT. You can just type it a question and it'll answer you as though it was another human. You know, it almost passes that Turing test, they call it, when you don't realize whether you're talking to a human or an AI. But this is the thing. It could potentially make students and children lazy.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
Because teachers can almost no longer give out homework because they don't know if it's the actual student that's going to be doing the homework. Human, you know, whoever it is can just go to ChatGPT and say, can you give me a 5,000-word essay on World War II? Ba-bam, instantly, in 3 seconds, they've got a 5,000-word essay on World War II.
Yeah, and I thought that the bad part of it as well is if students are using it and it's a specific thing that maybe uses heavy machinery or whatever if they're not taking that knowledge actually in.
No, they're not
using it.
Yeah, they're not learning anything.
Potentially really dangerous.
I've got a good example that I actually saw earlier today on Instagram or somewhere, I can't remember. But it was like a student who was like developing some kind of app for his phone or tablet or something, and he was learning to write the code. Mm-hmm. to do it, and he'd encountered a problem. I'm not entirely sure what that problem was, but he turned to ChatGPT and said, look, I'm developing this thing, can't get this aspect of it to work, can you write me a code that will work? ChatGPT was like, yeah, here you go, bam. Just instantly just wrote him out a load of code and said that should do what you don't, whether it's a random number generator, I'm not entirely sure, but, you know, it was like, yeah, there, bam, that works. And he's like, excellent. So he takes that, tries to apply that in the programming that he's doing, and it didn't work.
Oh, it didn't?
No, it didn't work. Mm. So he goes back to ChatGPT and says, oh, your code didn't work. Can you debug it for me, find out what went wrong? ChatGPT is just like, nothing went wrong. Worked fine on my machine. Must be your problem.
That's weird.
But
it's almost like a human.
You know, he hasn't... But he doesn't deserve that code because he hasn't learned the application. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And like ChatGPT says, that code that it wrote probably does work. It does exactly what he wanted it to do. He just doesn't know how to apply it to his system.
Yeah.
Because he's possibly got other errors in his system that it doesn't comply with. And when he's complaining to ChatGPT, ChatGPT just shuts him down and goes, no, that works. There's no bugs.
It's old, isn't it?
And so he's not learning. So, like I say, it's detrimental to his learning process to be using this tool that is there to try and help. It's really not helping him in that situation.
Yeah, it's the same for I was talking to my mate Phil, who's a mechanic, and he's now got the problem where all these new cars that are being built and manufactured, some of them don't even have... Have you seen the ones that don't even have mirrors on the side now? They have cameras instead of mirrors.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said there's so many electronics and things that they're getting a bit worried about that in a few years...
Will they actually be able to fix the cars?
Yeah.
Because you need an electrical engineering degree to do it rather than a mechanics.
And they're not going to have these old-school greasy mechanics that get stuck in. It's all going to be run through a machine and it's all going to be electronic and stuff. And he was saying it's actually... He prefers it the old school way because these new cars, they're always trying to beat each other. Like different car companies are trying to do this new thing that involves more electronics and things like that. And he said it's just getting dangerous because they've got a problem now where if there is an electrical problem that they can't sort out, they have to call in a specialist from that company. And then the customers are unsatisfied because it costs them an arm and a leg to sort it out. And it's just so far advanced now. It's crazy.
And it could potentially lead to job losses, particularly in that situation. You know, and Elon Musk has been on television having stated, you know, we're going to have to do something because unemployment at some point is going to become an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Where robots can do things so much more efficiently than what we can, we become redundant.
Yeah,
and he suggested at one of these government meeting summits that a basic living wage should be applied across the planet to just everybody because of this impending unemployment that is on the horizon. And that is the thing. When you think about AI, it is impending doom, really. Not necessarily impending doom, but it's inevitable.
Yes, yeah, yeah, you can't avoid it.
There are scientists out there that maybe don't think about the ramifications of what they're doing. They're so deep into actually creating it, they don't think about whether they should be or shouldn't be and what issues might arise. Already, even like you said, with this ChatGPT thing, I highlighted to you last week, off air, not on the episode, but how potentially damaging this could be even to the podcasting industry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's already started winding its way into YouTube. YouTube creators are using AI to almost create their content for them. You can get AI that will create video content. ChatGPT will write you a script. You know, there's very little minimum effort by humans to create their content. And in podcasting, even easier. When you haven't even got video to go through, you can use ChatGPT to write you a script. You just tell it, right, I want a script that'll last half an hour, around about 200 words a minute, on, again, World War II or, you know, whatever your podcast is about.
Yeah, yeah.
ChatGPT can write you that script. You can then take that script and put it into several other applications. One of them is called Overdub, where if you give it an example of your voice for long enough, I think it's around about 30 minutes worth of talking, it will then literally map your voice and you can feed it a script and it will read that script back to you as though it's you actually reading it with all your inflections, your voice tones, and everything. And who's to stop anybody from doing that? I mean, that's 3 days worth of work.
Yeah.
And you could just upload to your podcast site and you could put 10, 20 out in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Our fans and listeners will know if it's not us because we knock the mic every episode.
Yeah. Well, the one thought that I had on that actually is we always try to include an element of comedy into our podcast. Now, that is something...
We try.
But that is something that AI is really going to struggle with. Because AI doesn't have emotions, and comedy or laughter is an emotional response, isn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously there's various ways of creating that emotional response. Comedians are very, very good at it. And one of the easiest ways is to create like a surprise, because your brain isn't necessarily listening to every word that I'm saying. It's predicting what I'm saying as well. Mm. So even as I'm saying this sentence, your brain is predicting what I'm going to penis. And when it doesn't hear what is expected, it becomes funny like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That
but AI doesn't know that you can't just drop a wang into every sentence and it's, you know, going to be funny. So comedy is the one thing at the moment that humans have got going for them above AI.
Yes, yeah, it's a very good point. So you did actually catch me off guard there.
Did I? I was hoping to.
Yeah.
That's the one joke that I planned in this entire episode.
Do you think AI will eventually be able to finish each other's sandwiches?
Yeah. possibly. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there was that thing I saw a few months ago. Was it Google and someone else had put two AIs into communication with each other,
mm-hmm.
and they developed their own little language, and they had to switch it off and end it because they didn't know what these AIs were discussing, because it just seemed to be a random string of words.
Yeah.
And there you get, that's another thing, another warning, really, isn't it, that we're getting into something we don't know about. Every step we take in AI, we have to do so carefully so that we don't end up in the Matrix or with Terminators running around the place or, you know, whatever that happens to be.
I've got a question for you. While we're doing the subject of AI, have you ever thought about this, that the internet is everywhere around the world? Well, you know, a lot of places around the world. What is it? Is it like a supercomputer that's in one location? Or
it's made up. It kind of is a supercomputer, but it's not centralized. It's decentralized. So it's in many, many locations. You couldn't just flip a switch and turn off the internet, because if you turned it off in America, then China would still have it running and Russia would still, you know what I mean? Many, many servers make up the brain.
For those countries.
No, sorry, but anywhere, like all of Europe, every country in Europe is going to have its own servers. It almost, you know, every business has its own servers, and that's each server only contains a small part of the internet, but each small part makes up that whole.
Yeah, I just never really thought about it, because I did actually wonder, like, is it possible that the government could switch the internet off when they chose to, you know?
Well, I think they can restrict access to it, but they can't literally switch it off.
Yeah. No, it's just a food for thought.
And I guess that is more dependent on the internet service providers. And you see that because here in the UK, a few years ago, the government ruled that we weren't allowed to access BitTorrent piracy sites like Pirate Bay and all that sort of thing. And if you tried going there, it would just direct you to a page saying 404 not found or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So our government were able to restrict our access to that website, but they're not able to delete the website, because only the person who owns the server can delete the site.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, thank you.
But that's kind of off topic a little bit. But AI, obviously, there's a very big one. I think it's run by Google, called DeepMind, is an AI. And that actually has administrative access to all of Google.
Wow.
It's as a way to maintain Google, because Google's such a big, site. Holds volumes of traffic that's so massive that no one person could run it, if you know what I mean. But an AI can manage it. And the people who were developing DeepMind decided they were going to see what they could do with it. And on a sort of side channel, they decided to see if it could play video games without being shown how to play it. Now, do you remember the old game, probably on like Atari ST or something like that, where you've got like an upside down box with loads of blocks across the top, and then there's a button at the bottom that is just a dash.
Oh, and
a dot
ball.
That's a ball. Yeah, and the ball gets rid of the dot, the blocks, whenever it touches them, mm-hmm. but just keeps rebounding forever unless it drops off the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they gave it that particular game, didn't give it any instructions on how to play it, and obviously the first few times it didn't know what the hell was going on, didn't know what it could control or what the aim of the game was or anything like that. Run it through about 200 iterations, and it had started to learn to move the button at the bottom, the dash thing at the bottom, to reflect the dot to get rid of the block. So it was getting there. They ran it up to 500 times, and at number 500, it had figured out that the easiest thing to do was to burrow through to the top of the blocks and let the ball just go ding, 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 ding against the top and just hit the blocks from the top down with minimal effort from itself. And 500 goes.
That's quite clever.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have thought of that.
No, and so they started giving it more and more of these games, these like old Atari ST games, and it was started playing them at super speed. Do you remember Space Invaders? It could literally do a game of Space Invaders in like 30 seconds flat, just a whole lot. The entire invasion would just be wiped out super quick. And it was even running the games at like four times normal speed.
Wow. I bet Tetris was easy for it. Oh,
definitely.
I suppose a computer definitely would work that out.
And so they actually took this one step further and put it onto the oldest board game in the world. Now, you might think that's chess. It's not.
I was thinking Snakes and Ladders.
Are we? Don't know how it goes, Snakes and Ladders, or anything that rolls a dice. But no, there's a game called Go, which was invented in China thousands of years ago. Not entirely sure when, but it is a strategy game. Mm-hmm. Kind of looks a bit like checkers. You start off with just an empty grid, a board with an empty grid on it. One player's white, the other player's black, and you put counters, or these little stone counters, onto the board. And the idea is that when your counter goes down, you own one tile of territory. Now, if you string counters together and create a box in the bottom corner, all of that bottom corner belongs to you.
Is it kind of like Othello?
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. And if you string your blocks around the other player's blocks, you can then remove their blocks and that area becomes yours as well. It's very strategic. People in Asia really, really love it. It's a massive game over there.
Nice.
So they try training this AI to play Go. They called it Alpha Go. And they spent years and years and years developing this AlphaGo AI. And that's its only job, is to learn how to play Go and play it as well as a human.
Okay.
And when they started getting somewhere with it, they found the European champion only lived in like France and invited him to come over to their offices to have to help them. They didn't tell him what it was for initially. They just said, we'd like some input because we're studying Go. So he came over to the UK, to London, to their offices, and they sat him down and they said, well, we kind of want you to play a game of Go against our computer. And obviously, he's played computer Go before, probably. There are programs out there you can load up a game of Go and just have a one-player game versus the computer. And he thought it was going to be easy. It wiped the floor with him. Five games, he didn't win a single one. He got really depressed.
Wow.
Really, really depressed. But then they asked him to help them develop it further, because in this game of Go, when you've always heard of like chess grandmasters and stuff like that. Well, in Go, they kind of do it more like a karate belt scheme, where you work your way up the regionals until you get to black belt, and then when you're a black belt or a master, you're then graded on how many dans you can go up. Oh. So the absolute top level is a ninth dan Go player,
okay,
like grandmaster. And this guy was only a level two.
What, the
European champion, who's like a second dan, level two master. So they thought, why don't we pitch it against the best in the world? So they did. They packed up the entire thing, took it over to Korea, South Korea, got literally 18 times world champion, give him five games. He had one game per day. The first three he lost. Mm. And everyone was baffled. Everyone was like, this this AI, this computer is playing the game in weird ways that humans wouldn't play, you know? And they couldn't get their heads around it. On the fourth day, he managed to beat it.
Nice, cool.
Because halfway through the game, he just placed down a tile that it just wasn't expecting.
Ah, okay.
He kind of got in its head, pirate.
Yeah. You know?
And he managed to beat it on that fourth day. Really, really great day for him. Unfortunately, the next day, he lost the last game. And the reason was, is because in the early games, the AI was playing moves that he wasn't expecting. Because it didn't perceive his moves as a threat at that point, it was just populating different parts of the board that it knew it would need later on. So even though there were better moves to play at the time, and everybody was going, what's it doing? What's it doing? That's a bad move. Why would you move there? Well, you know, later on, they'd be like, oh, I see now. And it would just wipes the floor because it doesn't care. It's not trying to go, right, I want to monopolize this map. I want 90% of the entire board and leave him with 10%. It's going, if I can just win with one tile, that's all I need.
Mm. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That's really clever.
Yeah, and that's what it did.
But the AI is kind of teaching the humans.
Yeah, kind of at that point, yeah. It was a weird thing because nobody really wanted the AI to win because everybody's like pro-human, you know? Yeah. But at the same time, by playing that AI, they'd got a new aptitude for the game, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, so obviously the people who created AlphaGo, came back to London, carried on developing and that. That grandmaster got beaten by another grandmaster who's now the world champion. They put it against him. It beat him as well. Then they developed a new version of AlphaGo called AlphaZero. They put that against AlphaGo and it wiped the floor with AlphaGo. 100 games they put it. AlphaGo didn't win a single one. This new one was just absolutely on another level.
And that was its only task, was to play...
Go. And so someone said, well, okay, yeah, that's fine in this particular strategy game. Because they made the claim that you could just give it the rules to any game and it would be able to play it to, like, superhuman level just instantly. Mm. Someone was like, well, that's fine on a strategy game like Go, but what about poker?
Ooh.
Poker's a different one because you can lie in poker. You bluff.
Yeah.
So they programmed it with poker. Within 6 months, it was just wiping the floor with anybody that played it. Even bluffing included, it would learn your tells, even though it's got no eyes.
That's insane, isn't it? That's really good. So AI is developing.
It is. And another proof of this is America, in recent years, spent $400 million... on development for fighter pilot programs.
Yeah, of course they did.
So, yeah, because they want the best of the best up in the air, don't they? Obviously, yeah. Nowadays we've got drones that can outperform fighter jets because they're remote controlled. And I'm not sure if that might have been the actual test on this, is they were training fighter pilots to fly these automated drones. Mm-hmm. And a couple of grad students from one of the universities in America, using less than $500 of AI tools and software, beat them in a dogfight.
So hang on a second.
A whole squadron of fighter jets.
That cost $400 million.
The training of the pilots was, a $400 million program.
And they spent $500.
They've spent $500 on this AI, tweaked it, put it in a drone, and the drone just wiped the floor with them.
Wow.
And you can imagine that if AI does get put into these drones, into actual defense drones by America, UK, any country that's using them, how do we know that anywhere is going to be safe? Because we don't know what that AI is going to choose as a target. You can tell it who you think the bad guys are, but is it going to change its mind?
Oh, that's scary to think about.
That's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, even they were even talking about putting, with the armies. I'm sure it's America. They were talking about having like mech suits and things.
Yeah, those have been in development for quite a few years now.
So you've got AI in the actual suits working with humans, I suppose?
Well, they say that probably the best outcome that we can hope for is an AI for every human. Okay. Like working in tandem together. That is the ultimate production, if you like.
Oh, awesome. So everyone gets like their own C-3PO kind of
thing. Yeah, sort of. Maybe like a little RTD2 following me around. And
that would be so I'm for it.
But this obviously has to be done very carefully.
Mm.
Very, very carefully. We have to implement these things with safety in mind. Because obviously, when you're creating a new intelligence, we don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been said that 50% of AI researchers think that there's a 10% or greater chance that humans will go extinct due to our inability to control AI.
I believe it.
You believe it?
Yeah, I believe it.
Now, I was thinking about this and all day today, in fact. I've come up with three things that have got to happen for that to take effect, for literally to put us on the brink of extinction.
Go on then, hit me with it.
So one is the AI singularity. Now that is the point at which an artificial intelligence becomes sentient, it becomes self-aware, it becomes artificial super intelligence.
Like Ex Machina kind of
thing. Yeah, like Ex Machina. Okay. Yeah, brilliant film, by the way.
Yeah, fantastic.
And we haven't reached that point. We don't know when that's going to be. Some people have predicted as far in the future as 2060. Some people say 2040. Some people say maybe within the next 5 years.
Okay.
Maybe imminently. We don't know. That singularity has got to happen. That an AI computer has to become self-aware.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
But that's not enough. A self-aware AI, even if it bleeds into the internet, it can't just wipe us out and become the dominant species on the planet. Because the second thing it has to be able to do is self-replicate and maintain itself.
Oh, yeah, kind of like heal itself.
Infrastructure.
And, yeah.
Well, it's got no... Well, we control electricity that it runs on, you know? And all that sort of thing. We would be the ones that create all the little robots that it would need to create more of itself, if you know what I mean. And until that happens, again, we're fairly safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The third one is conflict.
Right.
Now, there is nothing to say that an AI is suddenly going to see us as something that it needs to destroy. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk gave the example of if it wants something, if it's got a goal, it won't see us as it won't let us stop it from getting to that goal. And he used the analogy of when we want to build a road, and there's an ant's nest in the way, we won't think twice about removing that ant's nest.
Yes.
We don't hate ants. We don't mean them any harm particularly, but we want to build a road so the ants go. Yeah. So the only time that AI would actively want to remove us from the situation is when it's got a goal that we're trying to prevent it from reaching. Yeah. It's very unlikely that AI would instigate a war with us. Because of that second reason, because of the infrastructure that we supply to it, and the resources that we supply, there's no reason for it to become hostile to us unless we get in the way of it reaching a goal that we don't think it needs to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. I think
there's three reasons why we potentially at the moment are safe.
Pretty safe.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is still the case, because I know I've got a couple of mates that have moved over to Japan. Mm-hmm. But we were always told growing up that Japan were like 10, 15 years ahead of us with AI technology, and they were in the future.
I think that one of the only quantum computers in the world has been developed in Japan. Yeah, they are very electronically advanced.
So they're quite advanced. Yeah. Now, I read in my research a few years back that, I don't know if this still is the case, so if anyone knows, please let us know. But I read somewhere that the AI and the technology is so far advanced in Japan, and not only that, but the people are very career-driven, that it's not necessarily extinction, but it kind of borderlines what you're saying, is the population of Japan is going down and decreasing because
people are more focused on their careers than they are in creating families.
Yes, and they've also got all that AI and robots to do certain things. So like you said, along with the jobs and stuff like that. So maybe that has something to do with AI as well, like where AI is getting more advanced. And it's like you say, not extinction, but it could be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, if every country became that far advanced, then not only would you lose jobs, but people
Well, I think what we've got to focus on is not becoming dependent on AI, you know? Mm. Like the kid at the start of the episode who was trying to get his code working and asked AI to do it for him.
Yeah.
That's bad, you know? It's finding that balance between, you know, we need to utilize it and use it to our advantage. Mm-hmm. Without becoming dependent on it.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
It's easier said than done.
Like Elon Musk says, is you find me a job that a human can do better than what a robot eventually will do.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not many of them out there.
No. Not at all. I mean, are some trains already driving themselves?
Pretty much. Planes have, for years, have been able to take off, fly, and land themselves. In fact, most planes do land themselves anyway.
Yeah.
Would you get on a plane that didn't have a pilot, though?
No. Definitely not.
The same with these self-driving cars that we see nowadays. They're trialling in America at the moment. There's got quite a big company that's got like a fleet of self-driving cars and that. I mean, statistically, they are the safest cars on the road. The millions of hours that they've had driving around on real highways, they have had some accidents, but that's been due to human error.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, they've only ever had crashes, particularly when they're stationary, with other cars. And the only incidents involving pedestrians are where the pedestrians have walked into the self-driving car. You know, statistically, they're safe. But you'd still feel weird getting into a car and just saying, take me there.
Yeah.
And then watching that steering wheel drive, turn
you're not
itself.
In control, are you?
No, not at all.
You're just kind of sat there like,
what would happen if the car decided it wanted to take you somewhere else?
Yeah.
You'd feel like you were being kidnapped and there's no one to even fight back at.
Yeah. I just had a thought about the scary car from Futurama, where it kind of has a mind of its own.
Isn't that the wear car? Isn't that Bender?
Yeah, the wear car.
Yeah.
No, it's a very interesting thought, isn't it? I think people can't... You see it everywhere you go, anywhere in public. You see people glued to their phones and things. I'm guilty of it. You know?
Yeah, all
like,
the time.
If you haven't got your phone, you feel like you're missing an arm. And I think that's got to be in like 90% of the population. Is addicted
of the
to
developed
that
world, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you think if that's a baseline, we've only got more to come in the future.
Yeah.
Because I don't know many people that don't have a phone anymore.
No.
Or they're like, oh, I've still got a Nokia. Most people
kudos to them, really, to be honest.
Most people have Androids and iPhones and other brands. So
people listening to this podcast are likely listening to it by a mobile device.
Yeah, yeah. I think it also depends on what you're doing, isn't it? Like AI can be really good if you are just kind of developing apps and making things a little bit easier, like, you know, iPhone cameras are getting better and better, and resolutions and graphics and that kind of things. It's not a problem. But then when you bring politics and war and stuff into drones and, you know, and you're talking about human lives, then, yeah, AI is potentially really dangerous.
Yeah.
So it's literally 50-50, isn't it? It just depends on what you're using it for.
Yeah.
That's my conclusion on AI.
But somehow we've got to put this to the paranormality rating, and I'm not really sure, like, how dangerous is AI, but potentially very dangerous, but also potentially very useful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only time will tell is pretty much it, isn't it? Time will tell.
Yeah. So to be honest, like, the dangers of AI, I'm going to rate highly. I'm going high because we've already, like I said earlier, with the podcasting thing, that could potentially corrupt podcasting, could corrupt YouTube. All these media platforms potentially could be affected by AI today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And moving into the future towards the Terminator or the Matrix or whatever, we just don't know. We don't know. So I'm going 9 out of 10.
I'll join you on a 9.
9?
Because, as you said that, I thought if Terminator actually happened, you couldn't do anything.
Terminator wouldn't happen because I think if AI did turn on humans and wanted to wipe us out, it would be instant. We wouldn't see it coming.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Our lives would be measurable in seconds.
They wouldn't have to waste their time with a war and just end it.
And it would come in some way that we don't even see happening. It wouldn't be nuclear strike. Because that would be detrimental to the actual AI itself. And why should it blow up a planet that it wants to occupy? Yeah. It'd be something else. Something that we just have no idea how it would attack.
Yeah. Well.
So on that cheery note.
Yeah, said we weren't going to be depressive. Now I'll give it a 9 as well, mate. Which brings our average to 9.
9. Yeah. Well done. You could have got some AI to help you with that maths.
Could have done, yeah. Calculator.
Glad you
calculator,
didn't.
That's AI.
Well, is it?
Oh, and I suppose you still manually do it.
The first calculators were analog, so could you make analog AI? Who knows?
Oh, I don't know.
These are two deep questions.
Yeah, we're going
dangerously back into our same as last week now. So anyway, if you enjoy using AI, send us a message, write to us at paranormality.uk@gmail.com. If you are opposed of AI, let us know why.
If you are AI.
Yeah, if you are an AI, yeah, why not? Just write to us. Tell us whether you want to destroy all humans and we actually have an impending doom on the 20th of July, 2079.
Yeah, yeah. And if you are part of the Terminator trilogy, then write in. If you're a Terminator robot, if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm not sure if I want a T-1000 writing in. Come and join us anyway on Instagram and TikTok and Discord. Always come and join our Discord. Unless you're an AI, then we don't want you there.
Yeah, yeah, we don't want that. I'll open the camera.
Well, actually, we already have an AI on the Discord because we do have a bot.
Oh, yeah. Most companies have bots.
Technically,
don't they?
Are AI, aren't they?
Yeah. And how many times have you rang somewhere and then you have to speak to a robot on the phone?
Oh, loads.
And you're like, I just want to speak to a human.
Mm.
So it's here.
It's here. It's inevitable. But that is the quote that I'm going to finish on from The Matrix. Yep. Agent Smith, Neo in the subway having a fight. Agent Smith gets Neo in a headlock on the train tracks and he goes, "Do you hear that, Mr. Anderson? That is the sound of inevitability."
Mm.
What a quote. What a word to use.
Yeah.
Inevitable.
Yeah.
So with that, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Till next time, ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
If you were listening to this podcast whilst waiting for a flight, would you be relaxing in a premium airport lounge? No? Then start your journey with Oneworld, a leading alliance of world-class airlines. Reach top-tier status with a Oneworld member airlines frequent flyer program, and you can enjoy an array of benefits, including priority check-in and boarding, and access to nearly 700 premium airport lounges around the world. Discover more at oneworld.com. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.